Welcome on into the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The total run in the bay has now surpassed the projected totals from both the ADF&G and UW forecasts. Plus, the Naknek, Kwijak, and Igigik are still going strong. It's Tuesday, July 16th. I'm your host, Alex Hager. Things are looking rough over in Ugashik, where escapement is low and openers have been few and far between. We talked to fishermen in the district about how they're feeling this late in the season.
Speculation is what we do. We don't know anything, but we're worried.
And we also talked to Ugashik Area Management Biologist Aaron Tiernan about what's on the table for the fishery moving forward.
I'm really hoping that this current weather pattern we're looking at with a little bit of wind and rain and cooler air temperatures will help push those fish to move upriver.
Those stories and more after this.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
Let's kick things off today with the numbers. On the west side, the Nooshigak's daily catch yesterday came up to 183,000, bumping the cumulative up to 13.98 million, almost at 14 there. Escapement in the district was 70,000 yesterday, making the season escapement 2.5 million. Breaking yesterday's escapement down by river, the Wood River Tower saw 64,000 fish, the Nooshigak got 6,000, and the Agushik had just under 300. Also on the west side, Togiak caught 33,000 yesterday, bringing the season cumulative up to 333,000. Escapement there was 6,000 yesterday and 40,000 on the season. Over to the east side now, the Naknek Kwijak had yesterday's biggest catch in the bay, hauling in 626,000 and pushing their season cumulative up to 9.7 million. Escapement in the district was 217,000 yesterday and 3.9 million so far this year. Breaking yesterday's escapement down by river, 112,000 fish went up the Naknek, 74,000 up the Kwijak, and 31,000 in the Alagnak. Igigik had the second biggest catch yesterday, bringing in 435,000 and pushing that cumulative up to 12 million. The district had an escapement of 78,000 on Sunday and 1.9 million on the season. And finally, on the east side, the Ugashik didn't fish again yesterday, leaving the cumulative there at 324,600. The district saw an escapement of around 4,700 yesterday, bringing the cumulative up to 113,000. Stick around for more information on the situation in Ugashik later in this show. Taking a look at vessel registration now, we're still seeing some upticks on the east side and numbers plateauing down in the Nooshigak. The Naknek Kwijak still making the biggest gains as registration goes. The district started this morning with 746 permits, but that number will climb to 783 for Thursday morning. The number of vessels will see a spike too, going from 598 to 627. 148 of them were doubled up today, and that'll go up to 156 on Thursday. Igigik is staying totally flat over the next couple of days. The number of permits there stays at 615, the number of vessels at 453, and D-boats at 162. Registration in the Nooshigak isn't doing much over the next 48 hours. This morning, the district had 251 permits. That'll tick up to 252 on Wednesday. 213 vessels will go up to 214, and the number of D-boats stays even at 38. The Ugashik is making some gains in all categories between now and Thursday. 65 permits become 71, 50 vessels climbs to 55, and 15 boats doubled up becomes 16. All is quiet on the Togiak front, with the number of permits and vessels staying flat at 44. Looking at the totals across all districts, Wednesday will start with 1,765 permits, 1,393 vessels, and 372 D-boats out on the water in Bristol Bay. We've got the latest numbers from the Chignik Weir. They had 19,000 sockeye yesterday, with 13,000 of them belonging to the late run. So far this season, the Weir has seen 380,000 sockeye, with 92,000 of them in the late run. The Chignik's are currently in the middle of a 48-hour opener. It's only their second of 2019. Over in Area M, the South Peninsula is up to 965,000 sockeye so far this year, in addition to 10.3 million pinks. On the north side, they've caught 1.3 million sockeye so far. We didn't get any new numbers from Port Moeller today. As of last check, the folks at the test fishery said they'd be fishing as many stations as possible towards Port Moeller, starting out with Station 22. We'll have any updates as they come in. We're going to take a short break here, but we'll be back on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report in just a moment.
Support for KDLG comes from Grundon's. More about Grundon's new hauler jacket and bib made with double-coated PVC that works to take anything the sea throws your way at grundons.com.
You are back with us here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on this fine Tuesday evening. While some Bristol Bay districts are having banner years in terms of harvest, the pickings are slim in Ugashik. I talked to a couple Ugashik fishermen this morning who say they're nervous about low escapement this late in the season. One of them, Howard Mosen, says concern in the district is growing.
Speculation is what we do. We don't know anything, but yeah, we're worried. Some of us are planning to leave soon, and we work, you know, on a percentage basis. So there's, you know, some personal financial worries, and then there's big world worries.
Fishermen in Ugashik say they've had a handful of openers and have seen jumpers on the water and some good-looking reds and subsistence nets, so they're ready to get back to fishing. In the meantime, they're killing time on shore and trying to keep spirits up.
Everyone on the beach is, you know, looking to catch a lot, you know, catch fish. And we're trying to hold on to that energy despite sitting for many days.
Now for more on the science side of the Ugashik situation, KDLG's Sage Smiley spoke with area management biologist Aaron Tiernan about what's in store for the struggling fishery as the end of active management approaches.
First things first, Ugashik, is there any sense of why things are going so slowly there right now?
Nothing that we can say for sure. My thinking is the recent weather prior to this rain showing up, the real hot weather we had and the warm water conditions that we had is probably having an impact on fish movements into that district and into the river. But we'll wait and see once fish start moving.
Is this the kind of thing that has happened in Ugashik before?
I've talked to some prior managers and some folks that definitely have a much wider historical perspective than myself right now. And it sounds like, you know, in the past, this has happened before. Notably in the early 90s, I believe it when it was, fish, did mill a couple of those years, and then they ended up, you know, coming in, and we were able to meet escapement goals and provide for some, you know, harvest opportunity.
When was the last time Ugashik fished?
I believe it was Monday of last week, so it's been, you know, a little over a week now that, you know, fishermen have been on the hook and waiting.
Are you getting the sense that there's still some hope from Ugashik fishermen, or are people transferring out of there?
We have seen some folks transferring out of there and going to other districts, maybe to Igigik once we did lift that 48-hour transfer period. Some folks did go up there to fish, but there are some folks still down there with some hopes to, you know, fish here in the near future, because there is a lot of fish activity in district and outside of the district as well along the beaches. But those fish just don't want to make a commitment to go up river quite yet.
So what happens in Ugashik once active management ends tomorrow?
Well, right now we're not. We're going to hold on to that fishery through the emergency order thing. We're not going to let it go into fall schedule. We're going to still approach it, you know, conservatively, just in case there isn't enough fish, and to try to get as many fish as possible up, you know, past the tower and for escapement purposes. So we will be still monitoring things fairly closely. We'll probably extend the test fishery operational dates to go a little bit later than normal. Same thing with the tower, to really try to get a good handle on things and, you know, go from there.
Do you have any sense of when things might pick up based on these people that you've talked to historically, when things have started to pick up, when it's been late before?
Not a hard date or a hard time frame, but I'm really hoping that this current weather pattern we're looking at with a little bit of wind and rain and cooler air temperatures will help push those fish to move up river. The water reading from our escapement tower this morning was 12 degrees. So it's dropped about 3 degrees in the last day or so. So I'm hoping that, you know, cooler water will help get those fish to move on upriver.
Is there anything you'd want to say to Ugashik fishermen about how things are looking in the near future? Questions you've been getting from people that you'd want to answer?
Right now we're just approaching things conservatively, just because our escapements are fairly low for this time frame. And, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we get suitable escapement for future years. But we're just going to continue to be a little conservative right now until we start getting fish upriver. And then once we do, once we get back on track with escapement, then we'll be looking to, you know, provide opportunity when we can.
Is the situation a cause for major worry for future years, or is this within the range of typical, even though it's not looking very good right now?
As far as the future goes, we just, that's why I keep going back to the escapement, because that's what provides for future. So as long as we get enough fish up there past the tower, then we should be all right for the future. Yeah, it just seems like this year is pretty unique down there, so yeah.
Now, well, that's the situation in Ugashik. Tiernan's other management area, Igigik, couldn't be more different. Escapement over there is 1.9 million sockeye so far, and it's surpassed the goal of 1.7 million. And the harvest of over 12 million far outstrips the preseason forecast of 7 million. Here's Sage and Aaron again.
Igigik, on the other hand, is kind of totally killing it. Do you have a sense of, has it completely surpassed the forecast or escapement goals, or is it still within that range?
It's definitely came back stronger than forecast. I think right now we're looking at a total run of just about 14 million fish. And forecast was, you know, about eight and a half, something like that. So, yeah, it's definitely surpassed that. And our escapement right now is good. It's at the upper end. It'll probably exceed the 2 million fish mark here either today or tomorrow, I'm guessing. So that's definitely a good sign. But, you know, we've been fishing every tide for the last 20 or so days. So it's been a good year down there.
Very different than Ugashik.
Yes, very much so.
So then management going forward with Igigik, what does that look like?
I think at 10:45 tonight, it'll be open consistently until Monday, July 29th at 9 a.m. And then at that point, the fall schedule will go in effect. And so then it'll be open, you know, 9 a.m. Mondays through 9 a.m. Sundays. So that's, you know, what we're looking at in Igigik for the near future.
Thanks.
Yep.
We're also going to check in with some news from slightly further inland today. Our own Izzy Ross is checking out the installation of an innovative new hydroelectric project in Igiagi. I chatted with her this afternoon for the latest from that neck of the woods. Izzy, you are up in Igiagig right now. Thank you for giving us a call. You're taking a look at the installation of this new RivGen hydroelectric project. Can you just tell us, what is it?
Absolutely. So this is a collaboration between the tribe of Igiagig and the Oceans Renewable Power Company. That's a company based in Maine. And they basically designed this. It's called the RivGen Turbine, and it's designed for rivers and shallow waters. It was tested in Igiagik in 2014 and 2015, and the tribe and ORPC got a $2.3 million grant a year ago from the U.S. Department of Energy, and they just got a Federal Energy Regulatory Commission permit in June. With the RivGen, what Igiagik as a community is really hoping for is to lower their dependence on diesel. It's estimated that if this system works, it could cut their diesel consumption in half. And that would obviously make for a more cost-effective source of energy, as well as a more environmentally sustainable one.
So we're in a time right now where we are seeing some cuts to PCEs, which is putting sort of a renewed pressure on communities to find the right way to generate energy. How does this fit into all that?
So what Igiagik is looking for is to get off diesel 100%. If this RivGen project works, they are hoping to install a second RivGen in the Quijack River, and that would really go a long way towards moving the community off of diesel for good. As far as PCE goes, that would go a long way towards lessening the financial burden on the community in terms of energy costs.
And then it could serve as an example of how that same system or a similar system could be installed in some other communities that might be facing some similar challenges. Now, today you're up there. It is a ceremony. The governor of Alaska is in attendance up there. What did he say, and what have been some of the main takeaways from this ceremony celebrating the installation of the new project?
Right. So the day was really festive. The ceremony took place at the mouth of the Quijack River. We were standing next to the RivGen turbine. And the governor was the first to speak. He acknowledged the collaborative achievement for the community and really praised their investment in renewable energy. And he said he looked forward to seeing the results of this trial year. Other people who spoke were the village council president of Igiagig, Alexana Salmon, Chris Sauer, he's the CEO of the company they were working with, and then Deborah Vo, who is the special assistant for rural affairs for Senator Lisa Murkowski. Elizabeth Medicine Crow is the president and CEO for First Alaskans Institute, and she also spoke.
All right, that is KDLG's Izzy Ross, who is up in Igiagig right now. Izzy, thanks for taking the time to chat with us.
You bet.
Now, as for whether or not the new hydro project will have an effect on fish, that remains to be seen. This first year of the generator's operation will serve as a trial of sorts to see if it has an impact on fish and if it'll still work in icy conditions. That just about does it here for tonight's show. In the Bristol Bay Marine Weather Forecast, tomorrow, a west wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet with patchy fog. Tomorrow night, a west wind at 25 knots, seas at 6 feet and patchy fog. And on Thursday, a west wind of 20 knots with seas at 6 feet. Now, finally, we'll close things out with some messages to the fleet. Greetings to Stanley Koslowski, who is a crew member on the Stag Bay. This message is coming in from your family and friends celebrating Pulaski Polka Days in Pulaski, Wisconsin this weekend. We miss having you here with us this year. Today's fishing song of the day is a little reminder of what you're missing. We're going to get to that song at the end of the show. Next up, hello Kimosabe, just wanted you to know Salty Dog Laika misses you, but is following her passions daily with Frisbee and walks at the end of her leash. Hope you and your fishing buddies, Blessed, Highliner, and Captain Daddy-O are holding up well and killing them, but most of all, having fun. Looking forward to hearing about your exploits and shenanigans. With love, Mom Tonto. And finally, in messages today from the crew of the Lindsay to the ladies of the Kindred Spirit. Glad the Knack-Knack is treating you well. Keep fishing. The end is in sight. We have 9 episodes of Dating with No Filter, 5 episodes of Roadkill, and 4 episodes of Paradise Hotel recorded for you when you get back on land. Ippy sends her love, and the avocado tree has 14 avocados so far. Love ya. Now, if you have suggestions or corrections for the Fish Report, we would love to hear from you. Please let us know by sending an email to fish@kdlg.org or calling us at 842-5281. If you've got a message to the fleet, send it to that same place, fish@kdlg.org, or give us a ring at 842-5281. And remember, we can only do what we do because generous folks like you make donations and keep our wheels turning. Feel free to call in anytime, 842-5281, or go to our website, kdlg.org, to make a pledge. We're just wrapping up our pledge drive here this week, and every dollar goes a long way, I can promise you that. For our fishing song today, we're going to play you out with something a little different. As requested by our friends out in Wisconsin, we've got Polka Music Fan by the Polka Family Band. I'm Alex Hager. Good night, good fishing, and catch you back here this time tomorrow.
Till today I'm listening to those polka jamming bands. How the music makes me feel so fine.